Genesis 32, are you there? Right. Again, I'll ask the question, do you want a blessing? Okay. We're going to tell you how to get it. Verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. So we get the picture. This is talking about Jacob. He has his family with him. They come to a place called Jabbok. And he sent them over the brook. And here he is by himself. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God, and with men hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. We'll stop there with the reading. This is the second encounter that Jacob had with God. And we know the first encounter back in Genesis 28 happened at a place called Bethel. It was at Bethel that Jacob saw a ladder. But here at Jabbok, he saw the Lord. It was at Bethel that he became a believer. But it was at Jabbok that he became broken. It was at Bethel that he became a son, but it was at Jabbok that he learned how to be a saint. It was at Bethel that he died to sin, but it was at Jabbok where he died to self. It was at Bethel where he found a spring in his step, but it was at Jabbok where he left with a lasting limp. Bethel, Jabbok, two wonderful places to meet God. And by the way of introduction, we want to tell you tonight, every one of you need a Bethel experience. Every one of you need to know without doubt that you have met the Lord. Every one of you should know. You may not know the date. You may not know the hour. You may not know the time. You may not know the circumstances surrounding it. But you have to know the time when you met God face to face, when you met Him at a place where He changed your life forever. How many of you remember the time when you came to your own Bethel experience and you met God for the first time and He changed your life from that point on? I'll never forget it. I happen to know the date. I happen to know the service. I happen to know who was preaching. Some of you may not have that luxury. You may not remember. You were so under conviction you don't even remember who preached that night. But you cannot forget the experience you had when you met God at Bethel. And everybody needs a Bethel experience. Can you say amen to that? Some of you tonight met God, you had your Bethel experience in a jailhouse. Some of you had a Bethel experience. My brother-in-law met Bethel in the car or in the steering wheel as he prayed. Some of you, I've heard your testimonies. You were saved at your workplace. Some of you had a Bethel right here at these altars. Some of you had a Bethel at the altars of the old church. Some of you had a Bethel at your bedside. But either way, it doesn't matter where you met Him, as long as you met Him. Thank God we all need a Bethel experience. You're going to need a Bethel experience if you plan to go to heaven. Not only do you need a Bethel experience, but you need a Jabbok experience. See, a Bethel experience will make you fit for heaven, but a Jabbok experience will make you fit for earth. And God cannot use you until you go through a Jabbok experience. He cannot use you until He breaks you. You see, some of you, you're still relying on yourself to get through this life. But you're going to have to come to the place when you realize that God needs you more than anything. Yes, we need God, but listen, God needs you. And until you learn to empty yourself of you, you will never be used of God. Everyone needs a Bethel. Thank God we're saved. But some of you tonight, thank God you need a Jabbok experience. You need a place when you learn just how wonderful it is to be blessed of the Almighty God. I know we're blessed to be saved, but listen, as our pastor said tonight, there is a blessing to living this life, but it's going to come at a cost. It's going to come at a sacrifice. And sometimes we have to go through a Jabbok experience to be blessed by God. Let's notice what happened here. First of all, to get your blessing, if you want a blessing tonight, here's the way you're going to get it. First of all, you got to get alone. You got to get alone. What was happening here? This was a time of testing. I feel this tonight. This was a time of testing for Jacob. What was going on? What would be happening after this? He would be meeting his brother that he had tricked 20 years ago. He had gotten to this point. He was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. That's what his name meant. And he tricked his brother. He tricked his father-in-law. All of his life he had been tricking people, living deceitfully. And now the time had come where he was going to meet his brother that he had deceived 20 years ago. And he was planning to meet him in his old deceitful way. And so he said, you know what? If I got to get with my brother, I want to spend some time alone here, try to get my thoughts together. So he sent his family across the brook, and here he was alone by himself. And listen, if you're going to get strong with God, if you're going to be blessed by God, you're going to have to learn to get alone with God. But I found something in the day in which we live. People can't stand to be alone. They can't. They always got to feel like they're connected with somebody. Now, I had to repent. I had to repent. Studying this message, God, before I could get any further, I had to put my pen down, put my Bible down and repent. Because I get along with God, but probably not like I should. And the main reason is because I can't get my mind off being connected with other things. And see, we're so distracted. We're so distracted with being connected. We gotta have noise all the time. We gotta have a TV on to go to sleep. We gotta do this. And I know people that I went to school with that they had to have a radio on. I had to have someone to even study their work. And that's the way they did. And I realize some of you may be like that. But listen, when it comes to homework, that's fine. But when it comes to God, you need to learn how to shut everything off and get alone with God. If you really want to be blessed, you gotta get alone. But we don't, do we? We don't. We're scared of being alone. You know why? Because you're scared of the noise of silence. You've gotten to the place where you feel like you need to be connected. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to. Well, I hope. Listen, I'm preaching to myself. What's the first thing we do when most of us get up in the morning? Wonder what happened last night on Facebook. Amen or oh me. We always got to feel like we're connected. Well, that went over real well. I'm telling you, I've had to repent. And see, we're scared to be alone because when you're alone, you got to deal with yourself. And that's why we put our trust and put all of our lives emphasis on things like this and computers and television. It's because when we have something going on all the time, it negates the fact that we have to meet with ourselves. And when we get alone, when we shut everything off and it's just us and nobody, then it hits the mirror, hits us, and we think, oh man, I've got some trouble I need to take care of. You don't want to get alone because you're scared to be alone because you know you got to deal with your own problems. It's good preaching. But can I submit to you I even had one of these times the other night. I won't go into it, but I want to highly recommend. I've been trying to catch some of the services from Hayesville, and I watched the other night Jim McComas preached a message on God's favorites. And if you had the chance to listen to that message after a man that had just buried his 23-year-old son from an overdose, how this man was able to get up and preach a powerful message. It was God's anointing all over him. But as I was listening to that message, it convicted me so much. And I fell on my knees there at the house. I was all by myself and I shut everything off and I got alone with God. And I'm telling you, God did something in me Friday night that I'll never be able to forget. And I went back over my life experiences. And I know many of you probably have these a lot. But I've looked over the best times in my life spiritually. And I can put it all into one thing. It's been when I've been alone with God. God does something for you when you are alone. And instead of worrying about being connected with everybody else, let's worry about being connected with Jesus. We all say we want revival, but if you really want revival, you got to learn to get alone with God. But we won't have it because we won't. You know why other places are having revival? It's because they are getting alone with God. They are hungry for it. Well, you already know all that. But listen, you can never be the Christian you can be until you get alone with God. And he got alone with him. He got alone with God and he was left alone. And then not only was he alone, but he learned that he was alive because the Bible says that he began to wrestle with the man until the breaking of the day. Have you ever been in so much pain or trouble that you have absolutely prayed all night long? Have you ever, has your body laid in the bed, but your mind kept running? And you try to fall asleep and you're dealing with things in your own life. You're dealing with tragedy and circumstances and trials. And you try every way to adjust your bed. You fluff your pillows. And it's not that you're sinful. I'm not saying that at all. You're saved. You've had your Bethel experience. But now you're going through something you never thought you'd go through. And you're trying to get comfortable, but you can't. You keep looking at the clock and you're thinking, oh no, I got to get up in a few hours. And you're worried about it. You just struggle and struggle and struggle. You know what that's called? That's wrestling with God. You say it is? Yeah, because sometimes in our own personal experiences, what we do is, I know what your word says, God, but this is really what I want. I've made my plans, God, now why don't you bless them? We need to stop asking God to bless what we are doing and start doing what God is already blessing. Did you hear what I said? We need to stop asking God to bless what we are doing and start doing what God has already blessed. Jacob was privileged. Jacob had what Bible scholars saying, if you study anything about your Bible, you understand this was a theophany. This is when God showed up personally. And that's exactly what happened. Jacob was privileged to be in a place when he wrestled with God himself and God showed up on a personal level. And many of you can stand up and testify tonight. There have been times when you felt like you have fought with the devil himself. There have been times when you've laid your head down at night and you prayed and struggled and wrestled and you felt like Satan was right in the room next to you. But thank God, isn't it just like God to always know when to show up? Here Jacob was wrestling. Here Jacob didn't know what he was wanting to do. And thank God he was wrestling with God. And all of a sudden, God shows up and says, hey brother, I'm the help you need. See, Jacob represents the old sinner nature, the old sin nature that we always have to, that's always wrestling with God. And see, God will touch us in a way when all the fight in us is gone. And that's what happened. God touched Jacob in a way where all the fight in him was gone. He couldn't fight any longer when God touched him the right way. Remember, Paul asked for 3 times that the thorn would be removed. And God himself, Jesus, God made the statement
My strength is made perfect in your weakness. He had to be broken, and Jacob had to be broken. And listen, God will break you, and you have to realize you're at your strongest when God has touched you and broken you. And you say, how could that be? How can I be broken and be at my strongest? You know why? It's because we don't have anything to do with it. When we are broken, when we are hurt, when we are discouraged, when we are going through sorrow, when we are at our weakest, that's when God is the strongest. You say, why, Brian? It's because we've let our hands off of it. The fight in us is long. We've stopped wrestling with God and said, Lord, I can't do this by myself. He said, ding, 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 that's what I wanted to hear. I know you can't do it. That's why I'm going to touch you in a way. That's why I'm going to touch your life in a way that shows you, you need me in order to be blessed. What? Hallelujah, glory to God. Aren't you thankful tonight? Yes, we do got to go through brokenness. Yes, we do got to go through sorrow. Yes, we do got to go through hard times. But bless God, in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Hallelujah. God will break you at your strongest to alter you. So he was alone. He was alive, but then he was altered. It took 20 years, but his sins finally caught up with him. It took 20 years, a 20-year journey to get from Bethel to Jabbok. It took him 20 years to get from salvation to selflessness. 20 years. It's a long time to be struggling. It's a long time to be going in the wrong direction. But you'll notice, usually, it does take a while to become a strong Christian, because it takes a strong Christian to go through brokenness. Thank God that you're saved. I'm glad we're saved. Thank God we can all raise our hand. But please don't throw me out when I say this. Some of you are saved, but you're not too useful. You say, Brian, that's hard. Yeah, I'm trying to get you to think. You're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but you're not very blessed. You're not useful. You say, Brian, why is that? Because you've never had a Jabbok experience. You've never been broken. You're living so high on your own self-piety, and you're living so high on the blessings that God has given you that you haven't even realized just how wonderful God is. You're worshiping all that you have instead of who you have. You say, Brian, what's the remedy to that? I'm praying God takes it all the way from you. Brian, that's, man, you're preaching hard tonight, Brian. I want you to be blessed. There's a difference between having possessions and being blessed. Being blessed means that you're broken. Being blessed means that you spent a long time with God. And being blessed means that you've been altered by God. It took 20 years. It took a long time for Jacob to get to this place. And the Bible says he was wrestling with the man, and we know that it was God. And God said, let me go. And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And here's where it got down to. Okay, you want a blessing, Jacob? You want a blessing? Here's what God said. What's your name? Now, I may have said this before here, but when God asks a question, he ain't fishing for information. Don't you think he knows what Jacob's name is? So why did he ask him his name? You know what he was saying? We're reading between the lines here, but it's exactly what he was saying. He was saying, hey, sir, who are you? Who are you really? He said, I'm Jacob. And he said, you've answered correctly.
You say, why was that so important that he say his name was Jacob? Because his entire life's been full of deceit and lies and trickery. Here he is face to face with God. He's wrestling with God. He says, I won't let you go until you bless me. He says, okay, if you really want a blessing, who are you? Be honest with me, Jacob. Who are you? And you know what he was saying to God when he said his name? I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. I'm a trickster. I did my brother wrong 20 years ago. And I deserve to die. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow when I got to see him when I cross that hill. I don't know if he's coming to kill me or if he's coming to bless me. But I've got to own up to what I did. When he said my name was Jacob, he said, I tricked my father-in-law. When he said his name was Jacob, he said, I've been through this and I've been through that. I know what I am. And he says, good, that's exactly what I needed to hear. From this time forth, from this time forth, I'm going to change your name. He said, your name isn't Jacob anymore, but now it's Israel. You are a prince that has the power of God with me and has prevailed. Now, wait a minute. This is what the Lord showed me. I got to thinking, okay, he's changing his name. And here God says, you have prevailed. But he didn't prevail. He lost the fight, didn't he? I mean, God touched him. And from that point on, he was walking with a limp. So wouldn't you look at Jacob as the loser of the fight? But yet God said, you have prevailed. You want to know the answer? Thank you. Here's what the Lord showed me. When God wins, everybody wins. When your father wins, the son wins. Oh, thank God. Yeah, God won the fight. God had prevailed. He wasn't really fighting Jacob. He was wrestling him. The whole point in wrestling is to try to get the upper hand on someone. And Jacob was wrestling. He said, God, I want my will. I'm going to do it my way. But finally God said, no, I'm going to touch you to make you understand. You're going to need me more than you need anything else. And he touched his life. He broke him. He blessed him. But thank God he branded him. He said, how did he brand him? He touched his thigh. And from that point on, everywhere Jacob went, his name was no longer Jacob, his name was Israel. But everywhere he went, all had to do, people would look on him and see that he had been blessed by God. But notice, they didn't have to look at his blessings to understand he was blessed. All they had to do was look at him and they could tell that he had been with Jesus. You say, why, Brian, why could they tell? Because he walked with a limp. He walked differently. He talked differently. He had a brand new name. They knew just by looking at him that God had blessed him. He broke him. He blessed him and he branded him. A branding is an identification to let people know what the brand belongs to. If you brand a cow, that shows the other people around that may have more cows in that same area, which cow's yours? In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, you'll find that they branded slaves. They would put their ear against a doorpost and they would run it all through an ear. So if some of you men want to get an ear pierced, let's do it that way. Don't think so, right? But if they were to be identified as a slave, They would put it all through their ear to the doorpost and there would be a big hole in their ear. And that was to show the world that they were a slave to somebody else. And thank God, after Jesus Christ has saved us and set us free and after he has blessed us, I don't have to walk around with a Jesus is Lord t-shirt. No, every step I take, nothing wrong with that. But every step I take, when I walk into a room, people can look at me and say, there's something different about that person. Why? Because I've been branded by God. Hallelujah. And there is a difference from people that are branded by God. God will bless you in a way. And see, Some of you tonight, you're scared. You're scared to be saved and you're scared to give your life over to Jesus because you're worried about how you're going to tell your friends and family after you get saved. Well, I'll remind you, for those of you that were not here and able to come to Bob Patterson's memorial service, his celebration, Jeff Chen got up here, and I don't want to steal his testimony, but I'll just kind of tell you what he said. He was that way, weren't you, Jeff? He was scared to death. He came and got saved, and he was worried. How in the world am I going to go tell my friends? How in the world am I going to go back to school with this brand, this new brand that I have on? And he said as soon as he walked into school, Dan Horner spoke up, said, "Hey, Jeff, I heard you got saved. God took care of it." You say, "Brian, I'm scared today. I don't know what to tell my family. I don't know what to tell my friends." Hey, you just come and give your heart to Jesus tonight, and you'll be surprised when you walk into a room. They'll notice a change. They'll notice there'll be a smile on your face that wasn't there before. There'll be a spring in your step that wasn't there before. There'll be a joy and a peace of your heart. I can tell some of you tonight, you're miserable. You know why? Because you're not living for God. But once you come to know Jesus Christ, it's amazing the change that can take place in a moment of time. When he blesses you, he blessed him, he broke him, and he branded him. He said, and if you want a blessing tonight, it's going to take us getting along with God. If you want to come tonight and pray, that's fine. And I hope you do. I hope you get things straightened up. But listen, every one of us this week, if you're already doing it, bless your heart. And I can pretty much tell who is and who isn't. He said, "Brian, I can tell. You can tell. You can tell. If you've been with Jesus, people know." But I challenge us as a church. If we really want to see our family saved, if we really want to see revival happen, hey, your assistant pastor's repented this week. I want to do better. I'm going to spend more time with God. I want to ask you to do the same. I want this church not to be known just because of Rubyville or the pastors of this church. I want to be known because, hey, people are getting saved down there at Rubyville. Lives are being changed. If we truly want revival, if we truly want to be blessed, we got to have a Bethel. But we got to have a Jabbok experience.